And I'd have to raise my hand and say I'm one that have not. I've not bought Miss Cindy flowers lately. I've not given her candy. I just haven't done that. She knows that I love her, but I think once in a while it would be good just to show our affection to those that we love. I know a lot of you, and I was going, it seemed like we've had a lot of funerals. Brother Jody pointed that out in our Sunday school class. We've had a lot of funerals around here. And it seems like every time that we have a funeral, maybe we're left with a beautiful plant or something. My friends, it's been said that we should give our roses or give our flowers here now. And I believe that. But I got to studying in the book of John, and it's not just in the book of John, but all through the scriptures, there's a common theme that runs through the Bible, whether it be in the book of Genesis or you end up over the book of Revelation, and that common theme is love. And we'd have to say that it's interwoven through the very fabric of that old King James Bible. Anybody take a guess? You might have studied it already, know how many, but how many times is the word love used in your King James Bible? You know that? That's fine. Just let me preach. There you go. How many times is the word love used in your King James Bible? How many? Take a guess. 12. Wow. It's probably used 12 times in this scripture I'll use. 310 times in your King James Bible is the word love mentioned in 280 verses. 131 times in the Old Testament and 179 times in the New Testament. However, if the word love was never mentioned, the very act, the very deed that Brother Kenny just taught about, and he was my Sunday school teacher this morning, whoever taught in your class, the very deed that we studied about today in our Sunday school lesson, that being the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if the word love was never mentioned in that blessed book, you would have to say that God loves us. Because the very deed, the very act itself, that God so loved the world that He would give His only begotten Son, that we might have life and we might have it eternally. And I'm glad for abundant living. I'm glad for everlasting life. I'm glad that I don't have to go to bed every night with the guilt and the shame and the condemnation of the law hanging about me. It was mentioned in our Sunday school class this morning, and Brother Jody started mentioning it in leaving. The best thing you can do is get a copy of God's Word. Pray before you get in it, and then get in it and see what's in it for you, because He will bless you in that. And whenever I got to thinking about that, I wonder how many times we throw that Bible up in the back window of our car, the back seat of the car, and then it's not moved again until you get out to come back into the service again. You're scrambling, where's my Bible at? I know a lady here in the back seat, and you should take that thing in with you. You should keep it by you and study that thing and read that thing. Why? Because if you want to know more about God and you want to know more about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, get in this book. Because the Bible said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So you want to know more about Him, get in this book. But we're going to be preaching this morning on this little simple thought, love. It's in the Scriptures. It's woven, like I said, throughout the pages of this, but the greatest act that was ever committed, the greatest deed ever done, was whenever Jesus Christ gave Himself for us. And we'll see that. Let's stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. I'm going to pick up the reading, and not for sake of time so much, but because the part that I want to focus on, and this is what the Lord gave me, starting in verse number 8, and we'll read down through about verse number 19. It says these words, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not to servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made unto you known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of my Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. I'm going to ask Brother John Shoemate again to ask our scripture, a blessing on our scripture reading. And then I'm just going to preach a simple message today on love.
Understand the true love of God and what you mean by what you've done for us. Oh God, fill our pastor up this morning and empty him, oh Lord, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Let me just say that I don't know how you punished your kids growing up, but did you ever make them love each other? Oh yes. I got a bunch of yeses. Macy's already over here grinning. She said, that was the worst. Just go ahead and beat me. Take it out on me. Put me in a corner. Take away everything, but don't make me sit with her. Don't make me hug her. I remember Miss Cindy, she a lot of times was a disciplinarian, not because I shirked the duty, but simply because of the fact that she was with them. The Lord allowed her to be able to stay home and raise two fine daughters and homeschool them. And while they were in the homeschooling, I was the principal. I was the chief administrator. I'd come home and, all right, what's going on in here? You know, I'd be the one that would kind of come in after the fact. But I'll tell you this, she didn't do this. I remember growing up, Robbie, sometimes Mom would wear us out, and then she'd say, wait till your daddy gets home. You know what that did? That made me not want Daddy to come home is what that happened. So Miss Cindy did not defer the punishment. She'd go ahead and take care of it. She didn't say, you wait till your daddy gets home. And then they'd never want me to come home if that was the case. But sometime, Brother Tim, I'd come in here and them youngins be sitting, I mean, toe-to-toe or eye-to-eye, looking right at each other. Sometimes they'd have to be watching. And I don't know why she did this. Mara sings opera now. She, bless her heart, she's a music teacher and she loves opera. She sings opera. And she'd be making them sit in there and watch opera. And then the next time I'd go in there and she'd be making them watch something off of the bluegrass pickers off of public TV. And Macy loves bluegrass and Mara loves opera. But all that punishment was holed up in this thought. She made them love one another. She forced them to get along. But let me tell you, brother, if I make you love her or I make you love somebody, is that love real? No, it's not. They love each other now, probably more so than they did when they were little. And this, I don't know all you people that shared that little meme that said, be careful how you live, because when you live in the house of a preacher, you are everything you say or do can and will be used in a message. Well, that's true. I don't know what else to preach. I can't preach about your family. I didn't grow up with you or your family. But I can preach about mine, but I do remember that. Sometimes Cindy would make them love one another. But that love's not real. It's real, and I'm not saying that the love was not real, but that making them be in close proximity of each other and hold hands or hug necks, that wasn't real. And I say that to say this, I cannot make you love my God. I cannot make you love my dear Savior. I can't force you to love church. I can't force you to love the King James Bible. I can't force you, Brother John, to pray. I can't force you to study. I can't force you to come together to fellowship meals. And if I could force any of that on you, it wouldn't last and it wouldn't be real. But I'm telling you, one trip to an old-fashioned altar, I mean, where you turn it all over to God and say, God, this thing's bigger than me. My sin is ever before you and I can't do it myself. Lord, I can't forgive myself. I can't get forgiveness from those around me. I don't even love myself. I can't do anything, God. But when God comes in and takes up his abode in your life, bless God, you then and only then start to realize what love is. I promise you that. You won't love your wife the way that she should be loved. loved until you have the love of God in your heart and life. Your marriage won't be the same. Your home won't be the same. Those kids won't be the same. Your whole house will not be the right way and not be the same until love shows up. So I'm going to start out. I'm not starting with the first point. I'll get to that in a minute. I've got to get to the main point and let the main thing be the main thing. And that'll be found in verse number 12. And that's namely this. The Bible said, "This is my commandment." Let's hit that for just a minute. What is a commandment? That is an authoritative order. That is a command for us that were in the military. Bless God, when you got a command that come down, you know where that came from, brother? It came from the rank and file. That came from somebody up above you, and they outranked you. Us being little E1s or E3s or whatever we were at the time, we took orders from somebody. Well, bless God, there's nobody greater than God. And bless God, whenever He starts giving an authoritative order, we ought to listen to that, and we ought to hold on to that. He didn't say, "This is my suggestion." Now, let me tell you, He commands us to love one another. Now, I'm going to say this real quickly. I won't like everything you do, and you won't like everything I do. I'm not going to like everywhere you go, and you won't like everywhere I go. But let me tell you, brother, we get people all, we get in this legality, and we start preaching legalism and saying that people are going to go to hell if they go to a movie theater, or they're going to go to hell because of this or that. Let me tell you, unbelief will send you to hell. But bless God, all this other stuff, that's ancillary. It does matter. It does fit in. And you ought to come out from among the world. But let me tell you, God so loved us, Brother John, that He called us out from the world. And He even hits on that here toward the latter. The world does not like you. The world does not like me. And bless God, just because we hang our hat on a peg called Christianity, because we make the statement that we have been saved by God's grace, this world doesn't like you. But in here, in the religious realm, you ought to love one another. What's so hard about that? You say, "Well, you just don't know Him like I do. He's hard to love." I didn't say run around with Him. Darwin, I didn't say I haven't been over at your house every other day to eat. I'm not taking all that aside. There's certain people, Brother Terry, you just don't want to be around. You don't have a lot of common interest. But bless God, you ought to love them with a Christ-like love. And we ought to love one another. Why? Because that's a commandment from God. He said, "A commandment that I give you is this, that you love one another." Verse number 12. Look what it says. Read it on. "This is my commandment, that you love one another." Like I said, not just whenever you come in here, but love also, not in word only. Scott, I can say, "I love you, buddy. Appreciate you coming back." But how much better is it whenever I come up to you and do something special for you? Shake your hand, hug your neck. How much better is it, Brother Robbie, whenever you say, "I love you, little brother," and then you and Miss Robin show up to help me move when it comes time to help me move? That stuff doesn't go unnoticed. That shows love. Action speaks a lot louder than words. There are people in here that during my tenure here as your pastor, they have told me and told me and told me that they love me. And I don't doubt that one iota. I believe this church loves their pastor. And I believe if I croaked right now, Brother Tam, and you got another one tomorrow, you'd love him the same way. You'd love him. You can't love him like God does, because God has an unconditional love. And we have a conditional love, and we'll get into that in just a little bit. But I believe you would love that man. But even though some of you have said that you love me, brother, there's some of them around here that had just made sure, bless God, that they knew, that I knew, that we knew that they loved them. And that's once in a while. And you'll see it all the time. You come in here during the summer months, and somebody bringing in, "Here you go, Pastor. Here's your bag of squash. Here you go, Pastor. We had too many green beans. Here you go, Pastor. We brought you some maters. Here you go, Pastor. Here's a jar of honey." You said, so it's all about giving you stuff. Gifting the pastor. No, I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is their actions are going above that. And you know the greater action, rather than give me squash and cucumbers and green beans and honey and rolls and everything else that you might give me with, bless God, Brother Tam, the greater gift is being here. I miss, just being here. Whenever the Word of God is going to be preached, to hear it and soak it up and don't refuse it but embrace it, that's the greatest gift you could ever do for a pastor. We have about 153 or whatever Brother Lewis said today. And then today we picked up another 100. We do that. That's what we do around here. We gained about 100 between the Sunday school and the preaching. But you know what, Brother Tam? It would show me that love is not what it should be. If we had 257 for our Sunday school, And then the preacher's getting up to preach, and the pastor's getting ready to open the Word of God, and he's going to try his best to rightly divide it. And he's preaching to 130. You say, well, what's that? That would be the reverse. We got 150 coming for Sunday school, but we got 250 for preaching. That means that somebody's coming in to hear the preacher preach. Now, Miss Sharon, you know what that would say to the preacher? If we had 250 for Sunday school and only had 150 for preaching, there's something wrong somewhere, and people don't want to hear that. But there is a commandment straight from God that we love one another. Not just when they're nice to you. Not just when they're doing something for you. Not just to gain advantage or maybe gain popularity or notoriety. I wonder sometimes if we should not check our motives. And I see this a lot in the social realm. Brother, and listen to me, I have nothing against that. And here, every time I mention any kind of social media, y'all think I'm preaching against it. I'm not. And if that's the only thing you get out of the message, open your minds and your hearts and your ears. But let me say this. My wife and I, we are busy people. But I don't post it out there that we visited here and we visited there. We were at this hospital, that nursing center. We don't do that. There's some pastors that do. And if that's what they need to do to feel responsible back to their people, so be it. And I understand, but some of them, Brother Greg, it almost appears if they're trying to gain popularity or notoriety, they're trying to get something. Listen to me. You love God and keep His commandments. And then another commandment that I give you is that you love one another. Bless God, I don't need to know where you're at. You don't need to know everything about me. Just know this. I love you and you should love me because the Bible commands that. Don't love somebody just to gain advantage. There's preachers that love on each other just to get a place to preach. I got enough places to preach as it is. I get to be with y'all. Plus, we've had how many funerals since November, October? I'm telling you, there's always a preaching opportunity. And if there's not enough preaching opportunity, make some. Go out here in the street and preach. The nursing homes would love to hear from heaven. There's always places to preach. But this commandment is straight from God in verse number 12. And like I said, don't just love somebody just because they've been nice to you. Don't just love somebody because they go to this church. I love what you said in the Sunday school class this morning. He got a neighbor down the street and he loves that dear person. And he said, they're not Baptist, they're Methodist. He said, but I love them. Let me tell you, we ought to love the Methodist. And the Methodist ought to love us. Labels belong on cans. They belong on cans of green beans, so you don't grab a can of Alpo thinking it's a can of corned beef hash. Labels have their proper place, but they don't belong on people. Amen. He said, I got a commandment that you love one another. And we ought to love one another. If we had a big old meter on our forehead that pegged love whenever we're in proximity of somebody, I guess we could do that, couldn't we? We could do it with that, couldn't we? That'd work. Brother, what if we had a meter that says, I don't love you and I do love you. Whenever I get around you, brother, I start, and it's showing, it's very evident because I can see your meter, brother. What's wrong? What have I done to you? I don't know why you're saying that because my meter's down here where I don't really like you very much right now. I'm not loving on you very much. But God knows our hearts. I'm going to get hung up on that first one. That's a commandment. It's not a simple suggestion, but we ought to love one another. As Christ said, as I have loved you. Look what it said, as I have loved you, so love you one another. I'm going back. I started in verse number 12, but I'm going to go back and catch a word in verse number 9. It says in verse number 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. What's that next word? Continue. Boy, that's not always easy, preacher. I have bad days. You don't know what they did to me. You don't know that we just had an argument. Preacher, you don't know what kind of an unexpected setback that I just had. You don't know that I just had a miscarriage. You don't know that I just lost my job. You don't know that my boss got on my back. You don't know that this happened or that happened. Listen to me. The Bible says continue in His love, and continue in His love goes right along with the commandment of God. Don't continue in love as long as they're good to you, as long as they're friends with you, as long as they do things for you, as long as they'll pat you on the back or recognize you or hold you up or lift you up. Brother John, love them and continue in love because that's what Christ has done. How would it be for us, Brother John, if he loved us the way that it was reciprocated back to him. Wow. Yeah. How about if he loved us and showed us graceful favor and merited favor, Brother Tim? How about that, the way we treat him and the way is the way that he's going to treat us? Yeah, I wouldn't be loved very much. I don't feel that I would be loved very much. And I'm not going to break down the storge and phileo and agape and everything. But I'll tell you this. The agape is the love of God. And that is an unconditional love. It cannot be changed. The Bible said there's neither depth nor height nor principality nor power. There's nothing, brother, able to separate us from the love of God. Nothing. There's nothing you can do. There's nowhere you can go. There's absolutely nothing, Brother Derek Bumgarner, that you can do that's going to make him love you less. He's going to love you. Because that's who he is. He's love. So continue in his love. Yeah, but preacher, they've got hatred toward me. Well, he told us that it would be that way down in verses number 18 and 19. He told us that it would be that way. Yeah, but preacher, if I say it's green, they're going to say it's blue. Move on. Move on beyond that. Yeah, but if I say it's blue, it's blue. They're colored. It does not matter. Things do not matter, and we get hung up on these little idiocies, Brother Tim, that mean nothing in the great scheme of things, but yet we'll fall out with a brother in Christ. All because y'all were looking at each other. You thought it was blue too, didn't you? See, and Rebecca. Listen, distance doesn't make somebody love you more or less. I remember whenever I went to the service, my little bride-to-be was here and I was there. You've heard it said that absence makes the heart grow fonder. I'm telling you what, I never realized this until the older I get, the more realizing I'm doing. Absence does make the heart grow fonder. You said, how so? Ask Brother Potts later if he's not got just a little more to go to heaven for today than he did just last week. You see, absence... To be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. Miss Jean's with the Lord, brother. Your heart's heavy. And that love for her is so fond right now. Your heart is so supple toward her. And that love that you've had with her and shared with her, the distance only makes that heart grow fonder. And my friend, don't let distance and don't let time and space and stance say, well, I don't love them anymore. Or they don't love me anymore just because I don't hang out with them or see them anymore. The Bible said to continue. That means everything coming and going. In verse number 9, it says, continue ye in his love. And we ought to be able to do that. We ought to be able to get past simple disagreements. We should not have any kind of hatred in our hearts toward one another. Go down to verse number 13. We're going to keep moving down through here. Verse number 13 said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man will lay down his life for his friends. I'm not asking anybody to lay down their life. Christ has already done that. I am telling you to give and to love sacrificially. I know people that won't provide for their family. They'll sit back and wait for a handout. You know what that tells me, Brother Tam? That man that's got the ability to do something. That man that's got the, I'm talking about the uprightness. He's got the strength. He's got the stamina. He's got the health. But he will not get out of bed and go and provide for his family. What's the Bible say about that man? He's worse than an infidel is what the Bible says. And you know what that tells me, Brother Greg? That man is not walking in the calling that he's got. The Bible said that Jesus, in that verse that I just read, that he had the greatest love of all. Why? Because he did the will of his Father. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man will lay down his life for his friends or for those that are going to beat him and scourge him, as we talked about. They're going to despise him and mock him. But he loved him anyway. What was one of the seven sayings from the cross? What was that, Miss Kelsey? It was one of the sevens. Was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We ought to love them in spite of it, Brother Tim. I don't care what comes up, but a man that won't provide for his own family, that won't work, won't support his family, you know what that tells me, Brother Tim? He first off doesn't love God, because if he did, he'd be providing for his family. It tells me he's got a very low opinion of his family. You say, man, that's rough. I thought you was preaching on love. I am preaching on love. Brother Rob, it'd be awful if you'd be laid up at the house, Miss Robin working three jobs, and you laid out there. I see men get out of the car and go in. The wife pumps the gas. I see men pull their seat back and lay back in the seat, and the wife gets out, pumps the gas. All that stuff nauseates me. I don't know why it does, but That'd be a cold day where the booger man lives, and booger man ain't going to have no cold days. Miss Cindy gets out and pumps the gas, and I'm laying in there able-bodied to get out. I ain't talking about sickness or something. But you say, well, what's that all about? I'm saying, take care of your family. Walk worthy of the calling or the vocation wherein you are called, and walk in that calling. Christ did that. He filled the bill. He did everything that the Father bid him to do, because whenever he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he took us, brother, in a perfect place this morning from Gethsemane's garden up through Gabbatha, or the place called the pavement, all the way to Golgotha's brow. But brother, if you'll look in there, he did the will of his Father. He said, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. He walked worthy of the calling that God had put on his life, and namely, that was to go to the cross of Calvary. What love that we see in Christ. Give of yourself selflessly toward the church and toward the things of God. Give sacrificially. Preacher was talking this morning about praying specifically. I'm talking about giving specifically. Single out somebody and just love on them a little bit. I'm telling you what, it'll make a difference in that person's life. It'll make a difference in your life. I promise you that. Sometimes my wife and I, when we are just have a free evening, we'll go somewhere and maybe just try to be a blessing to somebody. And I want you to know, Brother Tim, we're always the one that walks away from there blessed. It's never failed us. Let's just run over here and see this person. I'm telling you, walk worthy of that calling and continue. Christ did it in verse number 13. It tells that the greater love hath no man. And listen, I love you, firemen, I do. But that phrase right there, it pertains to Christ and Christ alone. They coined that phrase in the fireman, saying that whenever a fireman dies, that he give his life for those that he loved. He give his job, he give his life doing a calling. But this right here is unique, because that's Christ dying for the ungodly. That's every single one of us looking up to him that died for our sins. Now I want you to look at verse number 16. The word chosen. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Bring this thing full circle real quick. Brother, he chose you. A lot of times we get this thing contorted and think that, well, I picked God. I kept on searching until I found him. He chose me, brother. He chose you. He come to Brother Tim to where you were at. He come right down to where I live, Brother James, and he's the one that started fingering around inside of my heart. He chose me out. And bless God, Brother Kenny, he drew me whenever he chose me out, and he started putting the convicting finger of grace in my heart. Brother, I'm telling you what, it was just a moment in time. And bless God, I had to figure this thing out real quick. What's going to happen right here? I'm either going to get out of here and go to hell lost, or I'm going to get up here and get saved by God's grace. He chose me out. He said, I've chosen you. And that's what love does. Love. God the Father chose us that we might be a royal priesthood. He came to his own, but his own wouldn't even have him. His own refused him. And it was the chief priest and those that were accusatory toward him that said, he said, and we skipped, you read that verse, but we didn't really hit on it. He said there was a sign put over his head in Latin, Greek, and in Hebrew that said, the King of the Jews. The chief priest said that he said, right on that, he said he's the King of the Jews. Yes. Not that we made him the king. But that he said that. My friends, we would do good to recognize that he is the King of the Jews. We'd do good to recognize that he's the one that's doing the choosing. He come to where you were at. He chose you out. He plucked you out of this sin-cursed world, established your goal, and set your feet on a solid rock, saved you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. What's he saying? Go get somebody else. Show them the same love that I have shown you. Show that back to them. So that we are a chosen people. Now here's where we're going to be for just a few minutes, and then we'll get out of here. 17 through 19 tells us some things. And I just kind of wrap this up in one word. Is it not difficult or very challenging at times in 2019 being a Christian? I find it to be very challenging. And if you don't believe me, look on the national scene. Anybody following the President Pence and his dear wife? She just happens to work in a Christian school. And they have excoriated her in the media. They can't stand the woman. And Brother Tim, why does it become so unpopular or so hated to be a Christian? Why is it so bad to say that I support life? Why is it so bad to say that I support that unborn's life? Why is it so wrong to say that I believe? And this happened just a few years ago. Whenever Truett Cathy would give money, not against homosexuality, but he gave money in support of traditional marriage. He didn't say anything about the homosexual crowd. He just gave money in support of traditional marriage as biblically defined. And the whole world tried to boycott him. And they hated him. But for 16 quarters straight, Truett Cathy and the good folks, he's passed away now, but the good folks of Chick-fil-A, if you didn't know who he was, has had 16 quarters, brother, a straight record profit. Amen. But that's, it's challenging in this latter day that we live in. You can be fired for your stance on Christianity. You can be let go from your position if you work in a public place because you refuse to bake a cake or cut a hair or do this or do that, all simply because you took a stand, because that stand would have been against the Word of God or against God or anti-Christ, and you took a position on of faith on the issue, and then it cost you. Brother Tim, some people have had to shell out millions of dollars because somebody took them to the cleaners because of their faith. It's challenging to be a Christian in this latter day. It really is. Look at verses number 17. These things I command you, that you love one another. And here comes the challenge. Let me say, not everybody's lovable, and not everybody going to love you. You can do everything that you've got upright of heart. You can do it biblically speaking. Brother Scott, you can be everything that this Bible says to be. Guess what? Somebody's still going to hate you. I promise you that. You said, well, why so or how so? They hated him. And he was the Son of God. He was God incarnate in the flesh. It says, if the world hate you, we know that it hated me before it hated you. If we were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hateth you. Remember the word that I have said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Wrong is wrong. Does not matter who says it's right. And right is right, no matter who tells you that it's wrong. But the Bible tells us that in the latter day, what would they do? They would call good for evil and evil for good. That's the way they'll get this thing contorted around. And they'll get this thing changed around to where you, the upright at heart, that loves life, loves God, loves your brothers and sisters, loves his word, you're a bad guy. You're a bigot, you're a hater. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible said, if you love him, you're his friend. Ain't that what it says? It said, you are my friends if you keep whatsoever I command you. What were the commandments? Take the 10 and add one to it. Do all those and then add one to it. Love one another. Brother Scott, come up here. Miss Macy, come to the piano. We're going to close this thing down. I want to ask you the question. Do you know what love is? Do you truly know what love is? If you're saved by God's grace, you should say, amen. I do know what love is because I am living it. I experienced it for my own. Brother Rob, you got saved in Mama's little den over there. Right there in that little den on the side of South Center Church Road. Right there aside from her recliner. And bless God, I don't care if you got saved in the front of a Baptist church or in a Nebraska hayfield. I bless God by your mama's recliner as it was for you, Brother John. It does not matter if you was in the house or whether you was in an altar. Bless God, you then understood what love was. And that love has never digressed. It's never changed. It should just start to bloom and blossom. If you folks don't know, I'm going to say this real quick. I'm kind of limping a little bit because I'm facing some surgery. And I see some of you looking at me like I'm hobbling around. That's because I'm in pain. But I say that to say this. I love you. And if you love me, you'll pray for me. If you love this church, you will pray for this church. You won't just pray for me, the pastor, but you'll pray for Potts that's just lost a loved one. You'll pray for the one that's just got out of the hospital or the one that's still in the hospital. You'll pray for the least to the eldest. You'll pray for Nico and Nevaeh because they're foster kids and they come in here and that family loves little kids. You'll pray for them in spite of the fact that they're of a different color than you. You'll pray for the kids that rode in on the van. They may be Hispanic. They may be French. They may be Chinese. Who cares what they are? They're little children inside of God and we ought to love them. And if the love of God is in us, we will do this thing right. Don't just love me because I'm your pastor. Don't just love on my wife because she's the pastor's wife. Don't just love on Miss Macy. She's easy to love on. But don't just love on her because she's the pastor's daughter. Love on BJ. Don't just love on us because we're longtime members. Don't just love on us because we're elder statesmen or longtime members. Love on that one that just walked in the door. Love on Brother Scott who just been showing up here for the last few months. His wife's sick. The family's sick. Pray for them and love on them when they get here. The Bible said that it was a commandment, not a mere suggestion. So as we stand all over the house today, I ask you this. Have you took it as that, a commandment? Or have you just took it as a mere suggestion? Brother Grant, do you love God? He loves you. And if you love Him, what will you do? You were listening. You were listening. We ought to love one another, my friends. It ain't every Sunday you come into Calvary Baptist Church, you get to hear a message on love. If you love each other, keep His commandments. If you love Him, keep His commandments. If you don't know what love is, let me introduce you to love. Because the Bible said that God is love. That love covers a multitude of sins. That's love. There is no greater love than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. What did he do when he went to Calvary? Brother Kenny hit a lick on it this morning. The Bible said that whenever he cried, "It is finished," the next two words was, "He gave." He gave up the ghost. If he gave it, it was his to give. It was within his power. In other words, he laid down his life. Why? Because of love. We sing that song once in a while that's played from the sound room. Written in red, in letters of crimson, God wrote His love. Brother, it's interwoven through this book. And I have a Bible app on my phone and at home called the Blue Letter Bible. If you don't know what Blue Letter Bible is, it's a good Bible app. But I'm glad that whoever the people started putting the words of Christ in here chose red. Because it is because of His blood. As we sing today,